Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
European and Iranian diplomats are in Istanbul today for a renewed effort to resolve the standoff over Tehran's nuclear program. The talks mark the first formal engagement since June's 12-day war between Iran and Israel, a conflict that included US airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities and heightened tensions across the regions. Lise Doucette, chief international correspondent for the BBC, joins us now on the line. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning to you.
Lise, before we get into what it is hoped that might be achieved now, can you just remind people, because there's been so much negative publicity, particularly coming out of the United States, about what the previous Iran nuclear deal achieved. Did it work?
Well, let's look at the results. What happens when President Trump unilaterally pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal in 2018 in his first term in office. Under that deal, Iran had agreed to curb its nuclear enrichment to 3.25% in exchange for the lifting of sanctions. When the U.S. pulled out, other European countries stayed in. China and Russia did as well. Fast forward to 2025, and Iran is now enriching uranium to 60%. That is just below weapons grade of 90%, and it is also storing large quantities of enriched uranium. And although Iran continues to insist it has not made a decision to weaponize its program, those suspicions are there. And in fact, that was Israel's justification for launching those the strikes, which ended up in a 12-day war in June.
So what do you think now, given everything that has happened in recent weeks, are the chances of replicating a deal like that again?
The deal of 2015, and I covered it from European capital to European capital, it actually began in the Central Asian capital, was really a landmark multilateral deal. What it is now being replaced with, because certain provisions of that 10-year-old deal are now going to expire in October, is that there had been bilateral negotiations between the United States and Iran. President Trump coming back and saying now he wants to do a deal with Iran, and of course emphasizing that he could do a better deal than President Obama's team achieved in 2015. The difficulty, in fact, one of the major stumbling blocks right now, is Israel's military strikes shattered what had been a process of negotiations. The strikes early on Friday morning on June the 15th were just 2 days before a sixth round of talks was meant to take place, largely indirect, between an Iranian and American delegation in the Gulf states of Oman. When I was in Iran recently, the foreign ministry emphasized that this has really broken what little trust they had in the United States. And now they are saying, we're not going to go back to the negotiating table unless you can give us a guarantee that you're not going to, either the U.S. or Israel is going to attack Iran again just when they're in the middle of trying to negotiate a new deal. They want some guarantees. And also the U.S. continues to say the talks have to be direct. And Iran so far, simply because it has no trust, it has only said it will only have indirect negotiations. Which, of course, it begs the question, while we're talking today, what about these talks that are taking place in Istanbul? Well, they're with European powers. They're called the E3, Britain, France, Germany. They were part of that original deal, as well as the European Union. And they are meeting at a really, really crucial time, because under the terms of the 2015 deal, the ability to reimpose sanctions on Iran that were lifted in that agreement expires in October. So the Europeans will lose that leverage. And at a time when Iran hasn't returned to talks, where there are real concerns that it's not cooperating with the UN's nuclear watchdog. So the deputy ministers, which will be at that table in Istanbul, I think the first and most important item on the agenda is trying to find an extension of that deadline to give everyone more breathing space so that Iran can go back to talks, so they can work out new arrangements, for the EU to be reassured that Iran is coming back to diplomacy. But so the stakes are very, very high.
Yeah. Previously, I had heard Iran's attitude to nuclear weapons prior to Trump scrapping the deal in 2018. I had heard their disposition, their position being described as wanting to remain just below that threshold of being able to manufacture a weapon, because they felt that doing so meant that they had muscle on the regional and probably international stage, but they weren't so serious a threat as to try and end up attracting adverse attention. Do you think now that that calculation, that essential calculation, has changed for Iran, and that it sees its better interest, its greater interest being served by actually having a bomb?
Well, if we go back to what would have been the success of the 2015 deal, we just don't know, because the United States pulled out of it. And once the United States pulled out of it, Iran inched away from its own obligations, saying, well, if you're going to pull away, we're going to pull away too. And hence, as I mentioned, you have now this level of 60%. The U.S. has been calling for zero enrichment by Iran, something that Iran says it can absolutely not accept. It's its sovereign right as a signatory of the Non-Proliferation Treaty that it has a right to enrich uranium. But it has indicated that it is ready to return to those single-digit percentages around, it has to be more for the Trump administration, it has to be more than 3.2, it has to get a better deal than the original one. Iran, there had been discussion of possibly 5%. But I have to say that when I was in Iran a few weeks ago, I was really struck by how many hardliners were saying in public, the only way that we can protect ourselves now is that we get the bomb. The idea, the North Korea idea, that no one will bomb the capital of a nuclear state. Whether or not that is true, in fact, the government continues to say they have not taken that decision. They want to return to diplomacy, but they're definitely hardening their stance. And they will be taking a tough stance in Istanbul, because they criticize European powers, Germany, for example, when Israel attacked during the talks and attacked Israel attacked nuclear sites as well, as did the United States. Germany said at the time that Israel was doing, in its words, the world's dirty work. So Iran feels very let down by the international community. But of course, Europe also has its suspicions about what Iran was doing. Why was it enriching so much uranium? Why was it doing it at such a high level? And I think those suspicions will continue to persist. But Iran says it wants to talk. America says it wants to talk. The U.S., the Europeans want to ensure, but there are so many. There's tension. There's tension and so little trust.
What's your intuition here, Louise? Because previously, the best intelligence assessment was that the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei had not given the order or the instruction to go ahead and cross that threshold and build a bomb. But from the way you're describing the talk amongst the hardliners, do you think that that might have changed? Do you think that that order might now have been given?
No. The aging, he's now 86 years old, Khamenei, has always said that there was a fatwa, an Islamic edict, against developing a nuclear weapon. He has always led a very cautious rule. But of course, that kind of caution has been upended in recent years by the unprecedented exchange of attacks between Iran and Israel last year, the Israeli 12-day war this year, attacks by both sides, but Iran says Israel attacked first, so it had to respond. Who is the supreme leader listening to now? It's believed that he is surrounded by hardliners, particularly in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, who have seen in this 21 months of the Gaza war what they called their ring of fire, their forward defense across the region, their proxies in Lebanon, in Gaza, in Iraq, in Syria, and to a certain extent in Yemen, have been weakened or wiped out by Israel. So it can no longer count on that kind of security, which is why many said that it has then concentrated the minds of the hardliners, particularly the IRGC, about seeking a new kind of deterrence and wondering whether building the bomb is it. But it is still despite his advancing age and ailing health, it is the Supreme Leader who has the final say, and he has not diverged from his position that Iran will not develop a nuclear weapon.
Okay, so back to Istanbul then, and what is likely to come out of that. Are these effectively just talks about talks because the United States isn't there and it's just Europe and Iran talking?
Well, it is talks about talks because the only negotiations per se on a deal had been taking place between the United States, between President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Iran's delegation led by its foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi. But Europe does have an important secondary role to play, and the clock is ticking because even though the deadline for the possibility to impose the sanctions that were reimpose the sanctions that were lifted expires in October, it would they'd have to start the process by the end of August. So, if, in fact, the end of August, not so far away, is the deadline. So, I think they would at least hope to discuss how that deadline could be extended. For how long? Is it a matter of months? Because it has to be approved by the Security Council. Is it a matter of months? There's discussion maybe a year. So that, I think, is going to be the discussion at the table. And it's absolutely crucial discussion for both sides.
Lise Doucette, fascinating insight as always. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. The BBC's chief international correspondent. Coming up after the break, the weekly gathering.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.